This is the Daily Ebola Update from VOA Africa.
This is Jackson Vunganyi with the roundup of important events and information about the Ebola crisis from Africa, the U.S., and the world. The World Health Organization reports Liberian health officials are monitoring more than 180 people who had contact with a food vendor who died of Ebola on March 27th. There have been no new cases confirmed since that date. Heightened vigilance is being maintained throughout the country. Liberia was nearly declared Ebola-free when the food vendor fell ill. More than 4,300 Liberians have died of the virus in the past year. That is the highest number among the three West African countries hard hit by the year-long epidemic. In Sierra Leone, more than 3,800 died, and in Guinea, more than 2,300 died. In Guinea last week, 79 newly infected Ebola victims were confirmed. That's an increase over 45 new cases in the prior week. The 45-day health emergency remains in place for the prefectures of Fokaria, Koya, Dubreka, Bofa, and Kindia. In the capital, Conakry, officials are limiting participation in burials to close relatives. All corpses will be tested for the virus during the 45-day emergency period. In Sierra Leone, 25 new cases were confirmed. More than half of the cases were people who were being monitored. In the United States, the first health worker to contract the virus has filed a lawsuit against the Dallas hospital where she works. Nina Pham accuses Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital of poor staff training and improper preparation for handling Ebola patients. The hospital denies the charges. 5 months ago, at the height of the Ebola crisis, social life in Liberia was at a standstill as people tried to avoid touching to keep themselves from catching the deadly virus. With new Ebola cases going down to zero, Liberians have returned to popular beaches and nightclubs. Bona Muchler reports that people are glad social life has returned, even though the worries have not entirely faded away.
It was a beautiful Sunday afternoon, almost too nice for work. Monrovia lay under a blue sky, the ocean roared. Dripping all over, 28-year-old Derek Tamba has just had a dip in the water with friends.
I started coming back to the beach right after the government. First, they announced that they were lifting up the curfew, and they also announced that the reopening of schools. So looking at those informations, I thought it wise I come back to the beach. I think it's a time where we can come back and reflect and just enjoy the good old times we used to have with our friends all year.
Unlike months ago during the height of the Ebola crisis, many people are on Monrovia's beaches. With the infection rate at zero for weeks, social life has returned to normal. Liberians enjoy their street food and share meals and drinks again with each other. They are cramming into public buses and cabs without worry. They also flock to churches where chlorine for disinfecting hands remains in buckets at the entrance. And with curfews being lifted, Liberians have also returned to nightclubs. 5 months ago, Exodus Bar in central Monrovia already closed at 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. Fast forward to a Saturday night in March, it was filled to the brim with people who stayed until the early morning hours. But not everybody feels comfortable. Honey Davis sits outside on a terrace quietly sipping a beer. She says she only came out tonight to celebrate her sister's wedding, but avoids the melee inside and shaking people's hands.
I just sit, like, hiding myself, ain't no from people, because I know one way or the other friends will see me and want to say hi. So, I mean, that's why I sit in this corner trying to just have one or two brothers and go home.
Ebola impacted every aspect of social life, including relationships. Two brothers in their early 20s, Jamal and Isaiah Williams, said 5 months ago they avoided intimacy with their girlfriends as a precaution. While Isaiah had broken up in the meantime, he said it was not due to Ebola, and people are again close with each other.
After Ebola has subsided in Liberia, right, normal activity will resume, and the sadness will be too high.
His brother Jamal was also again on good terms with a friend whom he had avoided because there was a case of Ebola in his family. But Jamal now has another, much bigger problem.
all of the little cash we had before the Ebola crisis. We used everything during the crisis, so there was nothing left to actually help us in getting back to school, in doing other things.
Jamal says he struggles to find a job and does not know what to do. The rent for the brother's small room in the Lakpadze area of Monrovia is long overdue. He applied for work at several places, even walked all the way to his representative's office on Capitol Hill because he did not have the money for transport. But he has not heard back from anyone. Jamal said even though social life has returned to Liberia, that does not mean things are okay. Liberians still face the same problems as before the Ebola crisis. Benno Müchler for VOA News, Monrovia.
In other health news, the Ovarian National Alliance states almost a quarter of a million women worldwide are diagnosed with ovarian cancer every year. It's a disease that affects women's ovaries, which are part of her reproductive system. Ovarian cancer is sometimes called the silent killer because its symptoms mimic so many other conditions. In many cases, symptoms are not discovered until the cancer has spread. This is one woman's experience with ovarian cancer and how she is learning to cope with it.
For Clara Frank, 2013 was unlike any other year of her life. Clara, who is in her 40s, lives in Washington, D.C. She learned that the nagging health problems that she was experiencing were symptoms of a bigger problem that was proving tough to identify.
I realized that the first real symptom that I had was extreme exhaustion. And when I say extreme exhaustion, I'm not saying feeling a little bit sleepy. I mean, it was the kind of exhaustion where I could not keep my eyes open. I was falling asleep at my desk. So I consulted with a doctor, and I was diagnosed with narcolepsy. He put me on some stimulants that worked for a little while, but then the exhaustion would come right back.
After a while of dealing with the exhaustion, Clara said the area around her abdomen began to swell. She said she became depressed because her stomach was getting so large that her mother asked her if she was having a baby.
I tried every kind of diuretic. I tried every kind of natural remedy. I also started to develop intense pain in my neck and my shoulders and in my knees to the point where I couldn't crouch down easily. So I went to see a rheumatologist thinking that maybe I had arthritis or maybe even fibromyalgia.
The doctor then took x-rays and determined a minor case of osteoarthritis in her neck, but could not determine the cause of her swollen abdomen. So he then referred Clara to a gastroenterologist.
I started to develop a brutal gastric reflux problem. I couldn't keep anything down. My esophagus was just burning raw because of all the gastric acid that was coming up continuously. So finally, he ordered a CT scan. And at that point, I had gone on the internet. I took a look at my symptoms, and all of them pointed towards ovarian cancer.
Amanda Davis, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Ovarian Cancer National Alliance in Washington, D.C., explained some of the symptoms Clara was experiencing.
There are four symptoms that doctors have recognized frequently occur with women who have ovarian cancer, and those are bloating, difficulty eating or feeling full very quickly, abdominal or pelvic pain, and needing to go to the bathroom more frequently or urgently. Many women will experience those symptoms at one or more times during her life, and that doesn't mean that she necessarily has ovarian cancer. But if she has several of those symptoms, or if they are new or unusually persistent, that might be a sign that she should see her doctor and get checked out.
Davis said one of the biggest challenges in raising awareness about ovarian cancer is that women do not think about it until they get it or someone they know has the disease, and there is presently no early detection test for ovarian cancer. In the meantime, women like Clara, who have been diagnosed with a disease with a poor prognosis, will continue to seize life and seize the day. I'm Kim Lewis reporting from Washington.
And that was the Ebola update from VOA Africa. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. For all the latest information on the Ebola crisis, listen to the news on VOA Africa 24 hours a day or tune into our special Ebola updates Monday to Saturday. You can also visit our website at www.voanews.com. For mobile users, the website is ebola.voanews.com.